you for our sister, Ellen. Father, I pray that your hand rest upon her, that your spirit will flow through her, that her words that she has come to share with us today will touch each and every one of us in the way that you want us to hear you. Thank you that you know us. Thank you that you have a word for us. Bless Ellen and her words. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Technical clarification, am I doing the PowerPoint or are you doing it? No. If you can just stop for a minute, movie. Dad, am I doing the PowerPoint? He's doing it? Okay. Then we'll just, technical clarification. Seriously? Okay. Happy Mother's Day. Yay! And happy Valentine's Day. Yay! Today's scripture is a scripture that I've carried with me for a journey. And so if you allow me, I will take you on that journey a little bit. But it is this part that I want to dwell on. Fearfully and wonderfully made. If you go to the next slide, please. In Sunday school over the last month, we have dwelt with the Creator, right? In the beginning, who?
God.
Oh, no. You can do better than that. In the beginning, who?
God.
Thank you. Can we all agree on that? In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And then he went on to create. Yeah, the feedback. Technical clarification too. he went on to create, separate the waters. He created the universe that we don't know. Dwell on that one. There is a lot of the universe that we do not know. And then he was kind enough to show us parts of it. He created the stars and the moons, some of the stuff we do know. And then he went on to create the animals, the trees, the plants. And on the sixth day, what happened? He created who?
Man.
And?
Woman.
Thank you. Yeah. On a day like this. And can you do this so that they don't show all the good stuff right away? can you make it come up like slide in or fly in or do that? No? Is that possible? Okay, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Then just hold the slide for a little bit. Just a little bit of my journey, because I grew up on an island, a small island, just as you go to Haugesund, under the first tunnel, over a bridge, second tunnel, Rennesøy. Grew up there. And my mom is here, so I don't know if I could say this, but I was basically a good girl. I went to scouts, I went to Ingris, I went to choir, I went to handball, I went to football, I went, did all my homework, most of the time. I just did everything, right? I went to high school, I went straight to nursing college, and by the age I was 22, I had a bachelor, and a lot of my friends were still in university, and I'm like, what do I do? And I'd filled my head. But there was something in my heart, in my faith, that was saying, I need more answers. But what I thought I needed was academic answers. So I was discussing Bible school, theology training here. Bible school, theology training. 6 years, Hebrew, Greek. 1 year, because I'd heard of a Bible school in Youth of the Mission that went through the whole Bible 5 times in 9 months. 6 years, 1 year. 6 years, 9 months. Six. I'll do the 9 months. Applied for this school, and then they say, ma'am, this is a second level school. You need the entry course, which is a basic discipleship training course. Okay, Youth of the Mission, I've been a Christian all my life. I'm a good girl. Can you just put me straight through to the second level course? Basic discipleship, like seriously? And then they said, yeah, there is a practical phase and a theoretical phase. And I go, oh, door knocking. You know, I had this all these wonderful images in my head, right, of Mormons that go door knocking. I didn't know what evangelism was. Anyway, I wrote them back and I said, just put me through. And they said, ma'am, in this university, it's called University of the Nations, we all go through the same gate, whether you have a doctorate in theology or whether you have straight off the street, we all go through this basic discipleship course just to make sure we have a common understanding of the cross, of all these things. Okay, guys, I'll meet you halfway. What about just doing the lecture phase? And they were beautiful, but they sought the Lord and they go, we'll take her on. So they said, you come just for the lecture phase. And they hadn't done this before, and praise God, they prayed over it. But I traveled to this tiny island called Tonga, Kingdom of Tonga. Nobody knows where it was. They thought it was Togo in West Africa, but no, it was a small island in the Pacific Ocean. I think my parents thought I had lost the plot. We didn't know anyone that had gone there before. I was 22 years old, female. Yeah. So I got on a plane, I landed on this island, and I thought I'd landed on the moon. I think I've shared basically this before with you, but it was so different from anything I had ever experienced before. Some of the people there prayed in tongues, which was very foreign to me, having grown up in the state church. Some of the people there, the girls, okay, this was a hard one for me. The girls had to cover up their shoulders and wear skirts to the knees. This is 20 years ago, a lot of change. But for me, being a tomboy, soccer playing, I can do anything woman, having grown up in Norway, I was like, where have I landed? And so throughout my upbringing, being a good girl, all my affirmation came from being a good girl. My identity was being a good girl. Everything I had done, I got praised from my schoolwork because I was a good girl. And so my identity was in what I did. And then I'm put on the moon or on Tonga, where nothing of what I did was good. I was seen as rebellious because I would ask a question to a teacher. Okay, I studied at Kongsgård. My high school was Kongsgård. It's downtown by the big dome, Domkirken. I had political science, I think I've shared this before, with Aslak Sira-Myhre. Some of you know him, he's a communist politician. So in our classroom, you are supposed to be on and you are supposed to ask confronting questions and you're supposed to challenge the teachers and you're supposed to, in this culture where I landed, you didn't confront in public. You ask questions one-on-one after the class. So I'm sitting there, raising my hand, everything I don't understand, and the rest of the group is like, would you give it a break already? I didn't understand the cultural codes. I was lost. And it resulted in an ugly manifestation of all my insecurities. For those of you who have been put in a context where you're not familiar, you might recognize what I'm saying. If you have put, like a fish out of water, you know the expression? I was put in a setting where I didn't know what foot to stand on. I didn't know what to do. And all my insecurities surfaced. And it wasn't pretty. I was grumpy. I was moody. I'm not going to use other words, but you could. My fantastic husband witnessed some of this. It was not pretty. Because I was frustrated, and the fantastic thing was where God had planted me was in a Bible school, where I had a loving environment of discipleship and love, and it was safe for me. And so what I had to do was I had to come to the cross, and I had to surrender my identity as a brainy good girl, and I had to just lay it down at the cross. And we had this pride and humility teaching. I was sobbing through the whole week because my pride. Remember the Pharisees in the Bible? They knew it. They were the ones that Jesus struggled with the most. They had all the answers. And Jesus wanted to tell them, you have so little answers because you're part of a fallen nature. And even though you think you have a lot of understanding, you just have this much. Please remember. So because I understood and I was in this safe environment, I started, you can go to the next slide. I started this journey with planting my identity in the Creator. Not being loved for what I did, but being loved for who I am. Can you go to the next slide? So that's where the Psalm 139 came in for me, because it became my meditation. It became sowing the truth into my life. The fact that we hear things, I am wonderfully and fearfully made. We've heard it so many times, but it has become a truth to me that I'm not a rush job. I'm not just thrown together a pot of clay in 9 months. I am created with a plan and with a purpose, the same way he did creation. I'm part of that. And there are some keywords there, and I'm going to take you through them, because some of the things that I had to fight with was my skin color. And as a white girl in Norway, you go, okay, what issues do you have with skin color? Remember, I was thrown into an all-brown community, Pacific Island Tonga. And I was one of very few white girls there. And after a while, when you've been, I don't know if this happened to you, but you go colorblind, you don't realize if people are not constantly reminding you of your color, you don't remember. Well, that happened to me. I forgot how white I am. And the thing is, when I say white, I don't tan. And I know you don't understand what I'm saying right now, but this is the example. After being there for 2 years, a group of Norwegians came down, and after having been there for 3 months, they were going to go out on their Bible, their practical journey. And then one of them comes up, Eileen, let's take a photo before we leave. And I go, oh, of course, of course. I line up, and then he goes, no, no, no. I want to take a photo with your legs and my legs. What? Because they were white. And he had tanned. He was beautifully chocolate colored. And that was part of... And you're like, what's the big deal? But these were part of my struggles, my insecurities, things that were huge to me that had become mountains in my life. My skin color was an issue. Maybe part of your journey, the color that God has given to you has been a challenge, whatever beautiful color it is. One of the other things that I had to embrace, in Norway, we have a saying, tauset. Nei, how does it go? Tale er gull. Nei, tale er sølv, but tauset er gull. Okay, so speech is silver, but silence is gold. I've always struggled with that saying because I talk all the time. All the time. Right, Joelle? See who's the silent one? Yeah. And so all the beautiful girls, they were quiet and dignified. And I'm like loud all over the place. And it was a huge battle to me. And then my big hands and feet. Okay, so I know this is funny to some of you and maybe not so funny to others. But in Norway, like you know, I'm a tall girl. I have big hands and big feet. And to explain how big they are, when I go offshore and I tell the guys in my office that I need a size 42 shoe, they go, what? Eileen, use a size 42. So everybody in my office knows, now you all know what size shoe I am. But if that was broadcasted when I was a teenager, I would have died. Because it was such a battle to me. Why am I sharing this with you? to broadcast what size shoe I wear? No. It's because these were the lies, some of the lies that I believed about myself. That were, and they're not even lies, they're truths, but they became insecurities to me. And because they were my insecurities, the enemy's used, and of course I haven't, this is just a stupid example, but it's what I'm trying to say is we all, in our journey, have let the enemy hold us back with stuff that are not true. And if you go to the next slide. To understand and to free ourselves from these lies, we have to understand our place in creation. First, we understand that we are his sons and daughters first. It's like running back to in the beginning, who? Yeah. We have to, wherever we're at in our lives, we have to understand that that's when we go off track, that's where we come back to. That's where we come back to. First, I'm his daughter, his son. We always have to run back to in the beginning, God. Because as our children grew up, and as I've been growing up, that's been the anchor that I've held on to, no matter where in the world I've been, no matter what lie I've been battling at different times, no matter what insecurity has tried to say, Eileen, forget it. Just forget it. I always run back to my Father. In the beginning, God. And if you detoured, if there is a lie right now that's hovering over you, if there is an insecurity that's saying, just sit down and be quiet, instead of working with something in your life, if there is a giant in front of you that's holding you back, whatever it is, you can always come back to the fact that there is Father, and you're his son or his daughter first. And see the list that I've put underneath. Wife, mother, parent, parent's daughter. We're all sons and daughters of someone. And some of us are daughters or sons-in-law. And then we are professional. Some of us are professionals. But if we get these things twisted up, if we start changing this order, I think it could be a huge challenge. If we carry our identity as a professional before we carry it as a son or a daughter, I think we can get off track. And so today, as Mother's Day, as Valentine's Day, I think we have a chance to understand our place in creation. We are first his sons and daughters. If you go to the next slide. So where is our identity based? The whole thing about knowing a truth in your heart and in your head. What I've found, and this is my own scientific research, so take it for what it is. What I've seen around the world is that some cultures, when you share truth, they respond in their heart first. They receive it in their heart first. And then you have some other cultures that so wonderfully process it and filter it through their brains. Both are just as valid, I believe, and I want to suggest this to you today. But what happened in Genesis 3, when they ate from the fruit from the tree and there was a fall of the knowledge between God and evil, there was a dichotomy, there was a separation between the truth going from the brain and to the heart. And so many, many, many times, I think we are stuck because the truth, if you're the kind of person that receives the truth in your heart, oh, that's right. And then it stops. It doesn't go, it doesn't become a truth in your brain and in your life. And you don't it doesn't become a pattern in your habits. Or if you're the kind of person that filters things through your brain and it just becomes a knowledge and it never comes down to your heart. Did that make sense to you? That in the fall, when we got the knowledge of good and evil, then God never it to be a separation. Whether the truth hits you first in your emotions or the truth hits you first in your brain, there never was supposed to be a stop of the flow. It was supposed to go both ways. But because of the fall, a lot of times we have to work for the truth to become a habit in our life. Or we have to work for the truth, like I'm sharing with how I knew that I was fearful and wonderfully made. but it took has taken me a long, long, long journey to get it to a truth in my heart. Still working on it. I know it here, but to stand firm and know it here in my heart, it's a lifelong journey for me because I go this way. Praise God, I've been with so many cultures that have taught me the truth can also hit you in your heart first. Like worship is an excellent example of that. A lot of time worship songs will go straight to our hearts. Have you noticed that? How worship will just hit you. And you don't have that cerebral filter. Okay, that's a lot of alien science. But I want to close with this. There is a lot of mothers, since it's Mother's Day, who have this strong, including myself, belief that I know my children really, really, really well. Like, I can tell them by the sound of their sleep. And then again, they make some cute noises, so that's not so funny. But and a lot of us will say that. I know my children really, really well. And there is... how well do they know us? Can they tell us apart in a crowd? And of course, we've all seen the story, or we've all been in a crowd where a little kid comes up and grab your hand, and they think it's their mother, and then it's somebody else. But I want to show this video, and it's a tearjerker, and we've all seen it on YouTube. Of how kids are able to identify their moms. Blindfolded. I think a lot of us have seen this before. But I think there is a lesson in that. And if my help can just play the video, we'll see what I mean.
Twisting vines of time, you're in their grasp. A staircase to climb, breathing in gasps. The wind only knows what happened to me. I know your rose trapped beneath the sea. This I know, I'll never let you down. This I know, I'll never let you down. Bruises on all the trees, echoing sound. If you're down on your knees for the final count, this I know, this I know.
Okay. I'll never. That was the commercial. We are known by the Father. The same way that these children could identify their moms with a blindfold, we are known by Him. But do we, in the chaos of the day and in the chaos of this life, hear His voice? Do we hear His, do we feel His touch? He wants to communicate to you. He wants to affirm you. And I think that the same way these kids could identify their mom with touch, because it's about being close. It's about being known. And the Father wants us to know Him and be close to Him. Can you go to the last slide? With the times going on in Stavanger right now, and I felt it in the office, a lot of people are, it's tough. A lot of people have to go, a lot of people are leaving their work, a lot of people are struggling, and I've struggled myself on how to be a Christian and how to represent the Lord and how not to be affected. Some people are elevating themselves, and God has just given me this beautiful opportunity of putting on a headset and listening to this Christian radio station from the States called K-Love. I don't know if you've heard of it, but I used to listen to it a lot in the States. And on K-Love, there is this song that they've been playing. Of course, they have the morning show when it's 2 o'clock and I'm sitting doing the reports. But there is this song that's called Come to Jesus. And I have to turn it off because I want to start sobbing in the office. And I felt at the end of the sermon to just... If someone, for some reason, would like prayer today, whether it is your identity that needs to be realigned with the Father and the fact that you want to know that you're fearfully and wonderfully made in your heart, whether it is something else, whether it's times, I just wanted to play this song. It's a little bit about a life journey, but it's a wonderful song. So if you can just play that song, and anyone who wants prayer, you can just come to the front. I will pray for you. If you want song prayer after the service, you can do that as well. And Joelle, if you can help me with the prayer. But it's just an invitation. If you want prayer, you can come.
Passing by, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, and cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus and live. Oh, and when the love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus and live. And with your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye. Then go in peace and laugh on glory's side.
fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus and live. Fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus. Sometimes we fall, so fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus.